Are you ready for new dimensions and countless possibilities today and for the future? It's an exciting new time, and the answers are out there. So join Mary Jane Popp as she explores the unique and unusual for a better life on Pop Talk in search of the truth. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
And welcome to Pop Talk. Have we got a good one for you? As always, you know me, I always go in search of truth from a variety of different ways and angles and issues and situations, because that's what life is all about, right? Well, of course, since it is that way, maybe we need to check out what is happening up there in the stars, in the planets, and you know who. Okay, so what is happening with the planets? Is the alignment of the planets a driving force? You know who can give us the answer? Mercury. No, not the planet, but an astrologer and mystic. He's looked up in the sky for decades, and he can give us a preview of why what's happening is happening, and a look at maybe what's going to be coming. Hi, Mercury, how are you?
Wonderful, thank you. It's always a beautiful time to listen to your voice.
Well, I appreciate that. It seems like so many crazy things are going. Someone sent me a great little saying. It was a person wearing a black T-shirt, and what the words were on it were so apropos. It says, we should power wash our world. And I thought, you know, that's not a bad idea.
Well, you know, when you stop and think about where we are technology-wise, I mean, just in our lifetime alone, you and I, kind of the last generations where we actually understood what it was like just to have three networks, a lot of newspapers, magazines, the whole internet system was different. It wasn't digital, it was real, mm-hmm. and paper-bound, and there was only three voices that were on the media, basically, and there was lots of radio. So, and then before that, my parents, you know, he was at the beginning of the radio era, and he was born like in 1908.
Oh, yeah.
So when you look at our generations of our own family, you can see that in a very short time, we are at an apex point of technology we've never been before. It is now almost to a point where the world is definitely connected like never before, of course. And so this is a part of the era. I would say every decade, not beyond decades, we're talking centuries, where if you look at history, you know, Rome came and went. All of these empires, if you look at all of man's history, this is the nature of nature. And it's not unusual. We have to understand that this is our nature to be what we do.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, and parts of it aren't pretty. And we're in the middle of something that's kind of earth-shattering, because we're on new ground. Nobody really knows what to expect.
And the amazing thing is that a lot of these great civilizations did not last that long. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And we're looking at 250 years. Well, who knows? We don't know for
sure.
They
say the average around 240, actually. So we're already pushing 10 years. So we're already got 10 years in the good. But normally around 240, historically, that's a cycle that is really noticed by historians of a lot of empires that show up quickly and then they die off. But then again, something is reborn in that. So the other thing about nature and about the human nature, you know, we have our gardens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And think of us as a garden for atoms and protons and nature and space. You know, we forget space is the dominant thing that we're existing in. We breathe the universe into our lungs every day. We forget that we have a cosmic connection with our breath is really, and we have stardust in us. Don't forget, everybody, don't forget, you literally have stardust in you. And so we have these solar flares coming from the sun. They are like downloads. A lot of psychics see this as new downloads. Like you download your iPhone, you get it updated.
Yeah.
Well, humans get updated by the sun.
No kidding.
They're sending light to update our consciousness, to update our sense of who we are, and to right the wrong. And when I say right the wrong, meaning find the balance between light and dark so that everybody wins. and nobody loses. And that's the ideal, but we always fall short of that, clearly.
I think we're falling a lot short of that lately. So, you know, are there certain planets that are significant to us at this point? And if so, why?
Absolutely. Yeah, Uranus is the key here. Is Uranus and Pluto are two really dynamic planets. Besides Saturn, that's another side note. I mean, a lot going on here. But when you have a Pluto, which is about revolution, and it hasn't been in Aquarius for 251 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when the signing of the Declaration of Independence, it was at this position, basically.
Okay.
And so we are completing the complete Pluto cycle. We've never had that in the history of the American company and public. Mm-hmm. So we are the new era. And this era is showing that all the weaknesses, the areas of vulnerability in our way of life, our constitution, our government, way of government, all of these being exposed for the areas that definitely need to be shored up, they need to be fixed. There's too many loopholes for people to take advantage of. And now with the media, it's become very obvious that never before can a handful of people run the world beyond government. And when you have that kind of wealth amongst, let's say, even if it's only 500 men who have trillions and trillions in mind, there's no women probably in that, maybe one or two if that, but 500 men with all the money of the world, the most of it, let's say they have 90% of the money, they're really kind of running the show. Sometimes, you know, who's to say who's running anything anymore?
Well,
you
know,
we have gotten very cloudy in what's going on in the world.
And you got a thing called power that goes along with that.
Yes.
So it's money
that's
and
right.
power and money, and that's interchangeable anyway, isn't it?
Right. And that's why astrology, by the way, I lead to this point, because in the olden days, in all of the kingdoms and all of the fiefdoms, in every place, even in China, you name it, around the world, Japan, they all consulted their astrologers.
Oh, yeah.
To see what was the nature of nature providing us at any given moment. So it wasn't like nature's doing something to us. It's here in harmony with us, and either we access the good qualities that are available, or we ignore them.
Hmm. Okay, so if we're supposed to be paying attention to that, is what's happening in our country now, is anybody paying attention to that?
Well, Pluto's a revolution. It's about science, and this is the key here. For the next, I would say, 7 to 8 years, we're going to have revelations in science, breakthroughs that we've never experienced before. We're getting more information that's available with the Webb telescope. Scientifically, we're in a renaissance that is really an amazing thing. And if anything can maybe lead us out of the morass of our ignorance and our opinions and our judgments, and really that's what the whole problem with our world is. We're judging each other all the time and complaining and having opinions, but nobody really wants to just stop the name-calling and fix the problems.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And the problem should be the thing that we should be focusing on. And there's plenty of food for everybody. But if it's not managed properly, then we're going to have some problems. And clearly, our system is showing that we could see a possible, not recession, what they call a stagnation. But I think if worse, if China has a war, a civil war, and forget, Uranus is involved here. The other planet I haven't mentioned is Uranus.
Yeah.
That brings unexpected events. When Uranus went into the first degree of Aries, that's when the Fukushima earthquake occurred. So Uranus is known for sudden and unexpected violent occurrences. And right now it's at one degree, so it's just at the beginning. So we're going to find a lot of unexpected changes. Worldwide governments are going to be falling, rising up. We're going to have a lot of instability. Stability is not going to be a factor. There'll be a lot of instability for the next 6 years, I would gather.
Wow. Okay. So
worldwide. I think everybody's being, just like, everybody's getting shook up.
So it's not going to be only us. It's the whole world.
Yes. It's happening all over the world. Of course.
Wow.
We're an ontology. Everything is, we're the garden. Forget, we are the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And all of, we have something in common, and we share spirit and life. But I'm an optimist. I think that nature, I follow nature. I try to be humble to the fact that I don't know what's going on, but I know the stars, and astrology has been a useful tool to remind me not to be upset about being alive to begin with. Think about it. To be alive is quite a gift.
Well, you know, it's something that we have right now that we have to face is we have a government shutdown, and we don't exactly know what's going to be happening, and it could affect not only people who work for the government, but it could affect the people who handle everything that happens for us as a people. So it's like everybody's involved in this government's shutdown. It's not just the government itself.
And I think the whole idea of America, you know, I was fortunate to live in places like Texas and Georgia and Florida and New Mexico and traveled around the country and really have loved living around the place in the United States. But we're a united people, and when we get divided, it really stymies what we're all trying to do, which is have a living to pay our bills and to have a peaceful life in the world.
Yeah.
But if we work against each other, then that's what people who want to hurt us are doing that. And I don't know why we don't wake up to the fact that we all have to put in together to make this a better world. We can't keep dividing each other.
Well, we keep saying, you know, get across the aisle. And I don't care if it's in Congress or Senate or your local groups or whatever, and figure it out. Figure it out. Don't fight about it. I mean, you can have discourse. Discourse is healthy, you know, because we have the opinions of everyone. But, you know, stop fighting because, I worry about? We're just going to keep nitpicking and fighting within our own country, and other countries are going to take advantage of that. That worries me.
Well, unfortunately, we are probably more unsafe today than we've ever been in my lifetime, because the FBI seems to be going off on dog whistles, not really taking care of protecting the government from other governments. That's really the main focus of the FBI, is to protect the domestic and spying and networks and make mm-hmm. sure that we are not going to have another 9/11. But when you're sending all those FBI agents going around picking up people in ICE, helping ICE and all that stuff, and trying to police the streets, that's a waste of resource that is not protecting the American public.
Well, and that's not the job that they were meant to do.
That's not their job, period.
No,
and
never
has been.
That's
my point, that we have an administration that is dismantling what we have in place, and that's what's showing us where we're weak, and we need to strengthen the Constitution so things like this, they don't happen again, and because that shows how easily you can dismantle the situation if you do not stop someone. But he keeps, and he knows he's breaking the law, but he does it anyway, because until they stop him, he's going to keep doing it.
Yeah, it's just
that's his attitude.
I don't feel like anybody that's at, you know, in any level of government, and it could be local, could be state, could be Washington D.C. It doesn't matter. I don't think they're thinking about the people anymore. You know, the little guy that is trying to struggle every single day, guy and gal for that matter, just trying to, you know, put food on the table, have a decent life, raise a family. That's who you have to look after, not the power factor to be able to lord it over everybody else. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, the whole idea of empathy, when you've been living the high life and jetting around and you have plenty of money and health care, you got the best of everything and you're in the government, whatever, in the higher levels, you know, you're really out of touch. And they always go and talk to the people, please stop it. You know, you don't really know what it's like to be hungry with a child and you have to take care of them. I did a house sitting one day just the other day for a friend of mine with her daughter, and I spent the whole day with the daughter. And the amount of attention children need, and if you really want to love your children, you have to give them love and you have to give them time and spend time with them. And so many children, unfortunately, get neglected. And I think most of the root of our problem, as I've said this many times, is the way children are being raised. And I think that's part of our problem, is that we're not really addressing what the needs of our children are. They were so worried about our adult issues. When it's the children seeing us bicker with one another, and when you are raised in families where everybody's upset about the government or this, children really are affected by that. And that's
sure.
what bothers me the most as
yeah.
well.
Well, you know what? It kind of raises the hairs in the back of my neck when they talk about furloughs, which means you're going to have to work, but, you know, you're not going to get paid
yep.
until after
yep.
the government starts up again.
Yep.
Or layoffs.
It shows it's
but,
a game. They're showing it's a game.
Yeah, but here's what pisses me off. Congress
yep.
is getting paid.
Yep, that's right.
They're not being
right.
furloughed.
They write the rules.
They're not being told that, well, you're going to have to work, but you won't get paid. That's not right.
But see, those are the things that can be fixed in the Constitution. If you ever have a when they have to call one, again, they haven't done it in, I forget how many, 50, 60 years, since they really tried to amend the Constitution. But if they were to do that, that's how you would go in and fix those problems so that can't occur anymore.
Yeah, yeah. That
can be done. And so I'm hopeful that we can keep the system, keep it working, and keep it intact before it gets destroyed too unrecognizable.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest about it. If you're going to ask people to suffer or to, you know, do whatever you want them to do to make the government better or down the line or whatever, then you got to live with it, too. That's not right. Not right for you. Say, you suffer, but I don't have to. That's not right. It's just not right.
Well, I coming from a military family, I after what I witnessed this past week, all I can say is the people that really saved this country are your generals that he had put together in an auditorium with some other 1 stars to 4 stars and everybody in between.
Some 800.
And some of the staff.
800.
Those are the people that really keep this country safe. And that was a deplorable situation. They could have done that by Skype or a Zoom. They didn't have to bring all those people together. The expense of it, the vulnerability of if somebody set a bomb and killed of our higher up. I mean, I'm just saying all those things were potential when you do something that stupid. That's why a wise person would have never done anything like that, because it's unnecessary. But it was all for show, and that's the problem with what happens with all great empires. When it all becomes a point of show and no go, then it just dissolves, and that's what we're trying to prevent. And hopefully this next election, if it's allowed, we will change the situation.
I don't know if it'll ever change. I don't know what direction we're going in.
You can't give up hope, though. You know, that's one thing I'll tell you. I don't give up hope, and I really am an optimist. I will, if I have to make a choice in my life, it's always to be an optimist. Even if you're down on things, always choose the optimist, because at least the light will get you out of the morass that you may be going through.
Yeah, that's true. How about our economy? I mean, if we live in the state that is, what is, number 4 or 5 nation state in the world. We're probably going to be better off. And I know they're always picking on California. Your prices are higher. Yeah. But, you know, we've got a better life here. We really do. So I'm not complaining at all. I'm willing to pay the price to have the kind of state that we have. But how do we get other people to say, look, we're a country. We are one country. We are not divided into 50 states, you know. We're divided into states, but we're still one. How do you explain that to people?
Well, you know, I think something that you have to address each nut and bolt, so to speak. And one thing I heard the other day was shocking to me, and it's because they're so localized. There have been, in this year alone, up until now, 324 mass shootings that are like considered 3 or 4 people is considered a mass shooting. 324 of those in the United States, and rifles and guns were all involved. And so we get a handle on, you know, if you have to register your car, you should have to register every gun, and they should all be checked with serial numbers. And you start eliminating these things one by one, one day at a time. If it takes 10 years, you take 10 years, but you slowly start to weed out all these illegal guns, and you're going to have to work a handle on that, or violence is going to be much more of what we're getting.
And universal check. I have no problem. I have a weapon. You can universally check me. I have no problem.
It's basic stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know why intelligence doesn't rule anymore. But
no, you begin to wonder. You really do.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the cosmos telling us? I mean, do you think there may be some aliens out there going, well, we may have to interfere with their lives because they're doing some major damage down there?
Well, let me just, you want to go through the 12 signs for you?
Oh, yeah, we better do that because we're going to run out of time, okay?
Okay, so in terms of the planets, I'm going to let people know, Pluto's at 1 degree Aquarius. We have the moon, as we're doing this show, and at this moment, is at 13 degrees Aquarius. We have Saturn at 27 degrees Pisces. Neptune's at 0 degrees Aries. We have Chiron at 25 degrees in Aries. We have Uranus at 1 degree Gemini. Jupiter's at 22 degrees Cancer. And you can see the cosmic recipe and Venus is at 16 degrees Virgo. The sun's at 9 degrees
Libra. Yeah, but what does
Libra
that all mean?
Mercury.
You know, break it down
that's
into...
my point. 24 degrees Libra and Mars is at 7 degrees Scorpio. But if you heard your sign, you know that that's going to really be affecting you more so. So for Aries, for example, there's a lot of vulnerable, emotional vulnerabilities. You might really pay attention to your willingness to take care of yourself and really communicate and find what are the things that are bothering you. You need to let go of these things. This is a time when Saturn and Neptune, for all signs, are asking us to let go of things that no longer serve you. And if there's roadblocks for Aries right now, take your time, reflect, slow down, and think about your things quietly, and you will come to the resolution.
Okay.
Now, if you're a Taurus, patience, again, is a very practical approach. So if you're a Taurus, it really would do you well to just kind of take it easy, slow down. You know, if you keep an emotional steadiness and realize that your opinions and your attitudes are really sometimes not helpful for your emotional ability. So if you want to keep more of a quiet emotional position, let go of the judgments. Let go of your upsetness, things that you can't change. But once you let go of that, then you're going to find that peace very easily. So just kind of slow down.
Okay.
Now, Gemini, Gemini, I would say curiosity, as usual, is part of the par for you. But you're going to have a lot of scattered energy right now. And because there is a major shift happening with the energies we have with Pluto at 1 degree, we have Uranus at 1 degree. So it's really positive, but those are new beginnings. That means when there's anytime there's new beginnings, it's like when you're walking on frozen lake, you have to listen to the cracking of the ice to make sure you don't go too far. So be cautious, but this is a time for reflection, but also investigation.
Okay.
Now, if you're Cancer, emotions, of course, are always part of your daily routine. So to find that tension in your relationships, you need to find more compassion, more patience for yourself. You know, you can only receive what you're willing to give. So pull back. Realize most of the times you're being affected more so by other than other signs because of your Gaia, your Mother Earth. You represent the Earth. You're in touch with people. You can feel people's pain even if it's not yours.
Okay.
So Cancers need to be more protective of themselves. Now, of course, Leo.
Yeah.
This is a time to shine your authentic self, not performance, just be yourself. And being yourself, for some, may feel like a performance, but they don't know what real light is about until it's in action. And so use the creative inspiration and even the art forms of your community. Any efforts to overextend yourself emotionally is usually a powerful dynamic when you're especially dealing with groups. There could be a sense of listening to others' perspectives can give you a kind of an emotional awareness of where you're maybe wounded or where others are wounded. Or maybe you'll find out things about your rituals that you're going to change or make them a little bit different this time.
Okay.
But there's a reevaluation of how you're doing things, not so much why you're doing things.
Okay.
Virgo, perfection. It's really always the key is what do you mean by that? Define what you mean by perfection, and then you can attain it. But until you define what perfection is, quit striving for something that's unattainable, because if you don't define what it is you're trying to receive, then you'll never get it.
Okay.
So know what it is you're trying to do. Know your objective and go after them, and you will succeed. But you have to look at your routines and be more flexible with them and see what else you can do to make it work for you. That might be a little bit different. You can hold on to some of your past habits, but maybe creating some new ones will bring in more awareness so that you'd be more effective at what you're trying to accomplish.
Got it.
I think that would be a good approach for Virgo. Now, Libra, seeking harmony is always key. Communication could be a bit muddled. Relationship dynamics could be shifting, especially transformative. You look at the old patterns. Can you really change those? Will it make a difference? Does it really matter? You're going to have to reevaluate. Why are you in this relationship? If you're not happy with your situation now, some of you are maybe perfectly at balance with your people in your life. Again, astrology doesn't do anything for everybody. What you have to know is that certain signs are going to be more inclined to certain feelings. So feeling yourself is a genuine connection with relationships, and that's why it's so important for Libras to have healthy relationships.
Got it.
Now, Scorpio, deep feelings, boy, always the deepest, always tends to sting itself. The most intelligent sign of all, the most passionate, the most sexual, the most powerful. I mean, it's really a strong. Of all the signs, it's kind of a quiet strength that even when it's exerted and used, it's still done with discretion. It doesn't go for flashy. It does things in secrecy. It likes to do things privately. But trusting its intuition is probably its most sacred voice that it can really hear, if it can hear it, and yep. turn it on and listen to it.
Okay.
That's its power. And Sagittarius, opinions, you know, optimism is really the key. If you're going to have an opinion, make it an optimistic one. It is about a choice. Be mindful about what emotional decisions you make. Nature is always your best mirror. Taking a walk, taking a bath, swimming, walking in redwoods, go to the beach. That's where your clarity is best when you're thinking. And this time, because of all the changes, you have a lot of choices. And probably for all of us, by February, March of next year, we're all going to be in very different positions in our life. Now, Capricorn, steadiness, responsibility, those are your strengths, and you have that ability for your emotional depth. I mean, you have a lot of ability to change. If there's anybody that has the ability to change, it's partly because you like to change a lot, though you kind of complain about it, but you still like to do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of one of those things. But healing comes from also being vulnerable, and I think that if there's anything Capricorn has been learning in the last maybe 6-9 months, is that vulnerability is not a bad thing. It's a way how you grow and learn and become strong in areas that maybe you needed to look at. And so that's part of what Capricorn's going through. Now, Aquarius, change, transformation, always at your doorstep. It's always there, and now is no different than any other. But communication could be intense, but don't be misunderstood. Make sure you make things clear to people. Make sure you listen. Have your empathy. Look at the creative and spiritual aspects of what you're doing, not just the financial aspects. And let go of emotional habits that might not be helping you. And get yourself more guided and trust the process that you're doing.
Okay.
Now, Pisces, your sensitivity is heightened, so healing is really the key for you, especially. It comes in many varieties. Emotionally is certainly a key one for most people. But also sometimes addictions can be associated with Pisces, and communication can be a bit foggy at this time. You've been probably going through a transformation of sorts in terms of even your dreams. You're changing. You're maybe feeling guided in one direction, but maybe not going in the right direction. So you got to learn to trust your instincts, and I think that's the best approach for Pisces.
Now, how do
so
they?
So that gives us the basic 12 signs for
yeah.
this month.
Now, how do they get a hold of Michael Mercury?
Well, just go to michaelmercury.com and go to my website. I'm in the process of upgrading it at this point. I'm going to be putting more features up there. I have a few examples of my interviews I do on the radio regularly, and I'm going to be doing that more and getting on YouTube. But, yeah, I love it, michaelmercury.com.
Okay, terrific. And you do have an offer if they become a subscriber, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love this. If anybody subscribes, goes to my website, subscribe for the newsletter, I'll give them a 20-page astrological report free about health issues, food, colors, allergies. I give this free to everybody because it's so important to know about your vulnerabilities and your strengths. And from a healthy point of view, I think it's important because you'll learn that all of astrology, you had to be a doctor. You had to know astrology to be a doctor back in the day when people were educated.
Gotcha. Hey, Mercury, thank you so much. As always, it's great, and we'll talk with you next time real soon, okay? More
thank
coming.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And take care of yourself.
And you too. That's Michael Mercury, and we call him Mercury because he is the planet of getting things done.
Big thinkers. The world's climate is changing. These aren't new facts, but it means we must think in new ways about how we can live, prosper, and provide energy for our world while protecting our planet. Engineers are answering the call to create cleaner, safer, reliable energy. Solar power, harnessing the power of the sun to light all corners of the globe. Wind power, channeling a simple breeze to bring electricity to our homes. Hydro power, using the natural flow of water to generate electricity. Nuclear power, engineering advanced reactors that are safer, more reliable, and produce zero carbon emissions. Engineers are leading the way and empowering the next generation. generation. Engineers answer the call. Brought to you by the National Academy of Engineering. Learn more at nae.edu.
What a good dog.
Yes, you are.
What a good dog.
Yes, you are.
What a good dog.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. Oh, yes.
Well, not always, you know. Let's face it. We all have some problems every so often with our pooches. But if you want to have a perfect pup, I'm not sure if there is such a thing. But from chewer to jumper to barker, Kathleen Troy has transformed even the most unruly babies into well-behaved bow-wows. Now, Kathleen is known as the Dear Abby of the canine world and author of Dylan's Dog Squad. I love the name of the book. Nice to have you with us, Kathleen, again.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Okay. I always wondered about this. My dogs are getting older. One will be 10 in December, but she's still going strong. And the other, the boy, is 8 and a half. So, question, do they ever get too old to learn?
No, they don't. But, you know, their attention span is different than when they were pups, and their motivation is a little different, too. But you know what? The truth is, you're their world. And when they get older, their world gets a little smaller. They don't hear as well, maybe. They don't see as well as maybe. And so you need to be a little sensitive to that and to realize it's going to take a little more time. But what they love is that you're giving them the extra attention, and that's going to be how they learn. Mm-hmm. So they don't know or realize that, oh, gosh, Mom is teaching me this skill. But it's still, you know, we're together and we're doing this and that's fun and that's where they want to be with you. So it may take a little longer, but it certainly can be done. Absolutely.
It is so amazing how different dogs have different personalities. I mean, I've got, mm-hmm. they're both Samoyeds. I've got two Samoyeds now. The boy is very, you know, if I say, come on in, I may have to say it twice, but he'll come. My girl, oh my gosh, she'll just turn around and look at me like, do you really mean that? You know, it's just totally different. I mean, she's mm-hmm. much calmer than he is. He's just hyper, but that's okay. I mean, I don't mind that, but I do mind if I call her four or five or six times and she still won't come in the house, you know, and that's just, and that's just, you know, irritating. Is there mm-hmm. any way a person can change that, or is that deep in her personality and that's just what she is?
Well, of course, they have a personality, and some breeds are a little more stubborn than others. But you know what? The truth is it all comes down to yummy treats, you know, is a big motivator. So if you're a dog owner, like I know you are, mm-hmm. Either carry some treats with you all the time in your pocket, or if you have a fanny pack, keep them in there if you don't want them in your pocket. And when you call her and she actually does come, then, you know, give her the reward, you know, good girl, and give her, you know, the treat. And she's going to catch on like, you know, I get a treat. There's something in it for me. Again, the world is very small, and it revolves around food a lot.
Oh, okay.
So if you can't, you know, just get them to come in because they're that obedient dog that you admire and want so much, then, you know, try to build them into that kind of pup and give them a little incentive. A treat doesn't hurt. And I just want to say, even though your dogs are very big, you want to have that treat no bigger than your fingernail on your pinky because you want them to gulp it down. You don't want them to be chewing it because if they're chewing it, then they're thinking, yum, 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 this is really great, and am I going to get another one? Uh-huh. And they've already lost interest. And what was it she wanted me to do? Come in? Okay.
okay.
So you just want them to gulp it down.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Now, I know Dylan was a very special dog, and mm-hmm. and we told the story the last time you were on, but I think just maybe a little synopsis of who Dylan was and okay. what Dylan meant to you.
Okay, so when Dylan came to me, he was 18 months old and didn't know his own name and wasn't potty trained, even though he'd been living with a family for 18 months. And we just started working together. And he turned out to be the best dog I ever had. Mm. But in his lifetime, he learned 500-word phrase vocabulary.
Wow.
He could contact 911 with a special device. He could count to 10. He was the only Cocker Spaniel on the search and rescue team. And he could detect a dead body under 10 feet of water.
Wow.
And so he truly was amazing. He really was. But it just came over a period of time. People would meet him and they'd say, oh, I want a dog just like Dylan. And I said, well, he didn't come this way.
No, yeah. Yeah. They don't come prepackaged.
Yeah. And, you know, I had a laugh when you were talking about your Samoya, just kind of giving the cold shoulder. Because there'd be times when he would do something, and I would say, Dylan, what were you thinking of? And he'd give me a look like, you know, I'm a dog, right?
Yeah.
And so their priorities are different than us, you know. In a perfect world, it wouldn't be perfect, but, you know, they do make it more interesting.
It is. I sometimes have to laugh because she's always been very independent. Just very mm-hmm. independent. Him, it's like he was neglected as a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
So he has always been needy and needs the attention, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Her, on the other hand, okay, I got the attention, yada, yada, yada. I love kissing them on the nose. Now, mm-hmm. she's like, okay, you know, go ahead. Him is like, yay, she kissed me on the nose. But they do. I mean, they're like people. They have their own personalities.
Sure.
They really do.
And that's what makes them fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Now, you also said that there are no bad dogs, just bad owners.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true.
Yeah, but we don't mean to be.
No, you know, and often I think maybe our bad habits comes out of a lot of love. I mean, you know, face it. We wouldn't have a dog if we didn't find them adorable and we didn't want one. And like you said, they're funny. I mean, they just crack you up at some of the things that they do.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with dogs, you have to be consistent. Because if you're not, you know, if you laugh one time and then you're stirring the next time, they're going, well, what's up with that?
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's a mixed signal.
Yeah.
And, you know, we as people, we have good days and we have bad days too. Sometimes our patience scale is really high and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
And so on. But you just can't let up in the consistency department if you want to have a good outcome. And so, you know, do try. And let me just say that if your dog is doing something that you do not approve of or they shouldn't be doing, never use their name with a negative command and never use a stern voice. Use a voice as you would every day because that's what they recognize and they associate with you. So if I'm talking like this now and then I say, sit down, they're like, whoa, where did that come from? And again, their attention is diverted. They're not on the meaning of sit down. They're just looking around like, where is that? Yeah, I don't get that. I don't recognize that. So you can just use your regular voice. I don't know about you, but I grew up with a mother that when I did something wrong, she would give me a look.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I employ that with my dogs. You know, we'll be in situations and maybe, you know, they're squirming around or doing something because I have service dogs and they need to be still or something, and I'll just give them the look. And then they're like, you know, okay. It's no different than sign language, which, you know, Dylan knew sign language, and that was very helpful too.
Oh,
but
wow.
The look is very quick and very effective.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be mean. You just give them the look. And what I used to always laugh is that people would say, what happened? And I'll just say, Dylan knows. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the other thing too is, and I know I'm getting my advice here because I've got, they're good-sized dogs. These are 65-pound dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you said it. You said that food is their central mm-hmm. way to think of life, you know, it's mm-hmm. food. But they love breakfast. They have breakfast and they have dinner. And it is bark. As soon as I get a couple of things on the shelf that they recognize, it's like, whoa, you know, and it's together. bark, 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 till I put the food down, and then they'll sit very quietly. They are trained, and my husband did that, with very gentle. They will not eat until I say, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that people are amazed of that. They sit there, and yes, they may drool a little bit, you know, or give you that look like, come on, this is painful. But they will sit until I say, okay, and then they'll do it. But the barking only stops when the dishes get put down. Is uh-huh. there any way to kind of calm them down a little bit?
Well, I hate to say it, but they've trained you here.
Okay.
Now what to do. So I'm going to back up just a little bit.
Okay.
And if you do this initially with your pup, great. If you have to do it later, that can happen too. So in a perfect world, what you're going to do is you're going to designate a go-to spot for your pup. So it could be on his bed or, you know, a section in the room or something like that. And this has broad advantages. So, for example, a feeding time, which I'll come back to in a moment, or maybe there's a lot going on in the house. You've got company over or mm-hmm. something like that, and you want your dog to be safe or, you know, to calm down. So give them a go-to spot, kind of like their own little space is mm-hmm. all theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to do that before you start feeding. You know, tell them to go to the go-to spot. And this is where it's going to take incredible patience on your part.
Mm-hmm.
When they're bark, bark, barking, and you just can't take it anymore. Keep ignoring them. Keep ignoring them. Because the thing is that food is king, and that really is all your dog needs you for, is to feed them. That's really all they need. Yeah, they can manage sleep and exercise on their own. All they need is really that food. So once they stop barking, say, good girl, good boy, and give them a treat. And it won't take that long. But by then, you're probably going to be deaf. I mean, you really are. especially if you've got big dogs, and those are big sounds.
Yeah.
But, yes, you know, wait till they stop barking. At some point, they do run down. But you're going to be thinking that point isn't going to come fast enough.
Yes.
but when they do, then, you know, good boy, good girl, and give them the treat.
Oh, okay.
And then put the food down.
Oh, okay.
You've already got half the battle. Once the food is down, they won't eat it until you tell them to, which is a wonderful thing in case a stranger were to give them something bad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a wonderful thing. So, you know, I think you get good marks for that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Oh, I got to tell you something. People laugh at me when I tell them. This just happened recently. I would say in the last maybe 6 months or so. They will howl in harmony. Sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the afternoon, just all of a sudden one will start howling, then the other one starts howling. And I know you're going to think I'm a nutcase. I start howling with them. And
it is three-part harmony.
Yes, and it is hilarious because they will keep howling as long as I howl with them, and then when I stop, they stop.
Well, you know what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
I mean,
I love
it's something that you know, you've bonded with them. They enjoy it. They want you. They consider you part of the pack. If they didn't want you involved, they wouldn't do it with you. They wouldn't join in.
That's true. Oh, that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah. So okay. I think you know that's okay, Mom. You've got this one.
Okay. But it's so funny because I'll be, you know, the clock will go off in the morning and I'll kind of lay there for a couple of minutes. And then all of a sudden they'll go to the window and see something and then they'll start howling together. And then I just howl a little bit with them while I'm still laying mm-hmm. down there. And we're howling, all three of us together. I can imagine, you know, when the windows are open, I can imagine what the neighbors think. You know, these are nutcases, but I don't care because it's fun. It is fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And, you know, it's a great way to wake up. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, after that, your day is off to the start. You
yeah.
know, it's a good one. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, now, what about jumpers? Mine are pretty good about not jumping when people come in, but they get very excited when company comes over. Once in a while, the boy will do a jump, and I reprimanded to not to do that. But now I know I'm not supposed to yell, so I better no, so I'll say it in a nice voice, but I'll just say, get down now, you know. So, but they just get excited. I mean, how can you stop them from jumping?
Okay. So I know your dogs are big. I've seen pictures of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know you're not that big. So this is going to be interesting.
Okay.
So generally speaking, whether you got a little dog or a big dog, little dogs get away with a lot because they're just so cute, you know.
Yeah.
And they don't really cause much damage. You know, a 5-pound dog isn't going to hurt anybody. It could be annoying, but it's not going to hurt them. Big dogs, well, you know, they can flatten somebody, and
yeah,
then you might have a problem.
Yeah.
So what you want to do is this. Instead of, you know, or turning your back and running away or, you know, standing very, very still, what you want to do is gently walk into them. And what you want to do is let your body bump them. You want it to be a gentle bump and not an assault.
Oh.
And so now, again, your dogs are big, so they can take a bigger bump.
Oh, yeah.
But in both cases, you want to be careful. You don't step on their paws. I mean,
oh,
that
no.
would be terrible and hurtful.
Yeah.
But what you want to do is bump into them, and it's going to break their stride, break their momentum. And as they're coming down to their rump, you want to have that treat handy. And you want to say off. Don't say down, because down is what you're going to use to get off the furniture or something like that.
Oh.
You want to say off.
Okay.
Give them a different command.
Okay.
And again, just your only voice, off, and, you know, give them the treat. And they're probably going to look at you like you're crazy, you know, and what happened? The party's over already? But, you know, try that a couple of times. You know, a friend of mine has a 90-pound Grand Pyrenees.
Ooh.
And it took about 3 times with her. I weigh 110. So, you know, so that was pretty fun. I mean, when she puts her paws on my shoulder, she's taller than I am.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I kind of braced myself for it. But it does work. It does work. But the common mistakes, as I said, people will shriek, throw their arms up, turn around, or use that big, strong voice. It really gets them nowhere.
Got it.
But, yeah, just try to bump.
There are some dogs. Mine are not like this. And I don't know. I have a feeling that maybe because I have 2 dogs, it helps. Separation anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think, you know, maybe having each other, that does help a little bit?
I do. And yeah, dogs aren't the same as people, but we do share characteristics in that there are some people that just thrive more in the company of others and, you know, just feel more secure and things like that. And dogs like someone to be with. You know, again, they're pack animals.
Yeah.
And in days of old, typically 3 at least would gather in a pack because that's how they kept each other safe. You know, they just had different angles of lookout and things like that. So that's a very good thing in that respect. And, you know, that's why when, you know, sadly a pet passes away, the other one may not know what to do with itself or develop sudden behavioral problems, such as, you know, whining a lot or being clingy or, you know, howling, you know, when they normally didn't do that. So, yes, I think, too, is always a good idea. But then they also can act in tandem, too. They can kind of gang up on you.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
If one jumps on the bed, good luck, because other one's coming up, too. You know, and
yeah,
that's
just, yeah, try to catch me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one, usually, the girl, she's not much smaller, a little bit smaller, not by about 5 pounds. That's about it. But she usually sleeps on the bed. Or this one, I don't know what I've done to make it happen. Sometimes she'll just, you know, as soon as I get in bed, she jumps up and that's good. You know, we're fine. But sometimes she'll wait for an hour or two and I'm sound asleep. And then she'll come over and start barking, and very, very soft bark, you know, just oof, you know, you'll let me know that she's there. And her tail will wag like, hey, I'm ready to come up now. And I have to literally get out of bed and let her come up, you know. And it's like, I was asleep, Ice, you know. Can't you just do this at the beginning? You know, I know you're coming up here eventually, so. But, yeah, it just is what it is. And she's getting a little older, so it's a little harder for her to get up, you know. So
well, I'm wondering if, do you have a ramp for your bed?
No, you know, I tried ramp. I tried stairs. She looked at it and then jumped up on her own.
Okay, well, all right. So if you still have them, you might drag them out again and do, I don't know how high your bed is, but maybe you could put a treat in increments up there. And, you know, then you'll maybe two at the top, you know, once you get there. It could also be, because I know your dogs are very furry, it could be that she is still very warm from the day. And so night brings the coolness. I don't know if you sleep with your windows open.
Depends on the weather.
Okay. And then maybe her body temperature lowers and she's ready to settle down for the night on your bed. And it could be maybe that if she would be settling on the blanket, that maybe if you put a sheet on top of it instead so it's cooler or a cooling mat, maybe that might help. So there's a couple of different reasons there, but usually the treats work. I mean, you know, it's like you always want to say you have these really great things to teach people as far as skills. And, yeah, there's a lot of skills. But you know what? I find that most of everything comes down to the treats, and you can accomplish that. So,
I'll be done. Yeah. No, I didn't even think about that, but that makes good sense. Because she's older. She'll be 10 in December. So, you know, she's getting up there. But when she wakes me up, we have to do this little routine. She won't just jump up on the bed. No, she's got to come around the bed and take a running start, and then she'll run around two or three times. And I'll go, okay, let's try this again, you know, and maybe the third time then she'll make the jump. And it's like, why are you taking three times? You're running the same circuit, you know. But I think it's almost a game with her now, you know.
She likes it. Yeah, sometimes it just comes down to they like whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. So. And it's kind of laughable because it's like she'll come running around and then stop short and won't jump up. Then I get, okay, come on, Ice Girl, let's go around and back again. And then she'll come running around and stop short again. And then I'll say, okay, now this time you got to get up there, okay? So then she'll run and boom, she gets up on the bed. So a little harder.
I think you're right. It's a little game to her, and to her it's a bedtime game.
Yeah, and her
it would be bedtime without it. Of course, with you, it could be bedtime without it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and I'm sure when she lands on the bed, you know it.
Oh, yes. But she knows to get over to the middle of the bed because, you know, come on. Sometimes she'll lay right where I lay. And I go, no, this is not going to happen. Yeah. You got to move over.
You know, it smells like you. That's why.
Yeah.
You know, she just wants to be with you.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And she is close. But it just, and her, let's face it, as we get older, our caboose is a little heavier. So it's a little harder for her to get up there.
Voluptuous.
Yes. There you go. Thank you very much. I used to say we start looking like a pair, you know, instead of. But anyway, dogs don't do that, but people do. Now, if they want to find out more about Kathleen Troy and Dylan's Dog Squad, where do they go to?
Okay. It's very easy. Just go to my website, www.kathleentroy.com.
Okay.
And you can go to the QR code. It will take you directly to Amazon. You'll see some of my books listed there. I write this series. I write a murder mystery series. I write the nonfiction. And so there's a variety to choose from. So I would love to hear from people. I answer every email I get.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, yeah. That's the best. I always love talking with you, Kathleen, and thank you. I get all my advice from you. So it's like
my pleasure.
I'm going to try all these things tonight, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who have some of the same problems, so they're going to try it too.
Okay.
In the meantime, take good care, and I appreciate your being with us.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Kathleen Troy. You can go to KathleenTroy.com. Her book is so cute, Dylan's Dog Squad. In the meantime, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and above all else, you dare to dream. Talk with you next time right here on Pop Talk.